another planet, another girl, another planet.
So we hope you enjoyed those few songs there. Some requests from parents and
yes,
friends,
avid,
all of our
rabid fans.
To my mom, who just wrote in, "Where is your voice? I'm not Joe Jonas's mother. I don't want to hear him." Hello, Mom. This is me.
Great.
Yes.
So, were we still thinking about doing that Tufts Nevers thing?
Yeah.
Having that conversation?
Well, so when we were talking about Smith Winter Ball and Tufts Winter Bash and the delicious sliders, I realized that I will have graduated Tufts never having attended a winter ball. I think for some reason the combination of alcohol, the tea, and high heels, it really just turned me off.
Oh, when you put it like that seems like a horrible effect.
I never mastered the courage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that I don't feel like a particularly city nightlife kind of person in general. The idea of like traveling a long ways, especially in the cold in the winter, to go somewhere when like I would have just as good a time at home. Maybe this is just not a good way to think about life, but
no.
It seems like a lot of work to go have fun somewhere else.
I think I was also scared after reading the articles freshman year about all the stuff that went down at the Westin Copley. I was scared that going to Winter Bash would bring out my primal instincts to destroy things and pee everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because surely all those people, no one walked in that night thinking, I'm going to destroy this hotel.
Well, I do know the girl who peed in the plant. Yeah,
oh,
I do know her very well. I can say she is not one to destroy typically. And she just really could not get to the bathroom. There was a huge line, as somehow is often always in the women's room, which is like super annoying. And she found a plant. And someone happened to be walking by at that same exact time, even though she had a front of cover.
And you know, I'm sure she meant
it's
well
so funny.
And meant it to be a one-off thing. But I think, unfortunately, if you see someone doing that and you're already amped up on, I go to Tufts, this is my winter ball type emotions, it's very easy for this to degenerate quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't go to that one. I was not there.
Neither did I. I actually only went the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Myself. I don't think Winter Bash is like the biggest of the big Tufts All School events.
Mm-mm.
I feel like Fall Ball and Spring Fling.
Spring
and
Fling.
Homecoming, I guess. Homecoming is a little more dispersed even though. I don't think there's the same like campus togetherness on.
Yeah. That's very true.
Which is maybe weird because homecoming is literally about school spirit.
Yeah. But actually, I feel like now that they have the alumni carnival and that's been like become a bigger thing, that like I remember my freshman year, homecoming was like really scary because you didn't really know anyone or anything. But this year was all about that alumni carnival with the games and the food was really on point. So cannot complain about that.
I think all my memories of homecoming are honestly of it being bitterly cold. You know, Spring Fling, I remember the artists. Fall Ball, I remember the mashed potato bar.
Mm-hmm.
Homecoming, all I really got is feeling the cold deep in my bones. So that's my Tufts never thus far, is never have I ever attended a winter bash, and I guess the time to do so has passed me by.
Wow. Yeah, but it's a, yeah.
I don't think you missed
not a
too much
big
on that
miss.
One.
Hmm, try to think. Never have I ever been a Sunday in Carm, or had a Sunday in Carm.
Really?
So yeah.
Can you guess where the ice cream is? Like, if I were to put you in Carm right now, would you know where the Sunday stuff is set up?
Would it be, like, where the... No, not near the cereal bar. Would it be over near the Panini Press?
No, you were actually right the first time around.
Oh.
It's right near the cereal.
Oh. Mm. Yeah, literally never been there.
Mm.
I don't know. I've never been really a Carm person.
Never been to Sunday in Carm. We can fix that pretty quickly if you'd like to.
Yeah.
Here's my hang up on Sunday. I just want the toppings with the soft serve. I don't really want the toppings
That's
on the hard
so
serve.
That's so real.
And
Why?
I will never be able to have that.
I think it is kind of ridiculous that our soft serves machines have to be serviced every week.
I think at least could like upgrade. Switch off so that the toppings were there, you know, sometimes.
Yeah,
on the
yeah,
same
yeah.
Nights.
I'm just. It seems kind of like bad machinery
yeah.
if you have to do something to it every week.
Yeah.
Or do they just not? I don't know.
I don't know what
the idea is.
Heavy use.
Yeah, I've worked in. Oh, maybe it's that they have heavy use. But I worked in an ice cream store. So I worked in JP Licks actually a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite thing was like I would work Sunday night shifts, and Sunday nights were always when we serviced our soft serve machines. Mm-hmm. We only did it once a week, and we always did it like after closing. And then you just like let them be empty for a night and like run water through them. So I don't know why that has to happen like during prime time all day.
Yeah.
Why that has to be like all day, twice a week.
I think they're just trying to gradually wean us off a daily soft serve addiction.
But they're just giving us hard serve.
Yeah, that's
true. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's very true.
It doesn't seem like hard serve is better than soft serve.
That was something that I really took note of when I was doing college tours. Like, does this place have like the supply of ice cream I need to sustain myself? Does it have an ice cream machine? Do I have to go off campus? Like, what's the situation?
Mm.
Tufts definitely passed that. Flying colors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They keep us
Absolutely.
Well supplied.
Mm. Well fed in general, I would say.
Charlotte,
well,
what's
in the dining halls.
What's your never? Do you have one?
Oh, my never. I have never been in Bush.
Bush Hall?
Bush Hall. I've never been in Bush Hall.
You know, I went into Bush Hall for 30 seconds during a scavenger hunt because someone needed to use the bathroom. The first floor bathroom door was opened. I saw a large bathtub in a really alarming shade of gray.
Was that all?
Have you never been back?
Bathtubs?
I don't know. That's all I remember of Bush, though.
But
so.
That must be really old because I think I was talking to someone and they were like, oh, it's more handicapped accessible, like bathtubs.
Oh,
and I think they've definitely upgraded it because when I lived in South, they had they had like a seat in the shower, and the shower handle was like extendable. Mm. So I think it was like the best of both worlds. You don't have to like be
nice.
In like a gross communal bathtub. Like
you don't want the build up.
Yeah,
I
no.
get the sense
yeah.
that people who lived in Bush and Tilton spent a lot of time in Bush and Tilton. But people that lived in Hodgden, Haskell, and South freshman year
mixed
I think
a lot.
There was, a, fluid
there was a lot of mix.
People that lived in
yeah.
Hill, I don't really know what you guys did up there.
I feel like the Bush people,
Hill
though,
Miller.
At least in my experience, they all came out really full force. They're very united because I think Bush was a hard place to live with like roaches and like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Really united people. Yeah. Because I remember when my friends from my floor in South would come to Haskell, there'd be like a Bush contingent. Like it was like all
yeah.
these little tribes
wow.
coming together.
Yeah. I think I barely even knew anyone who lived in Bush. I mean, that's why I didn't go
I
there.
I really think
but.
They knew each other and that was it.
Wow.
I hope they're all out. Callers, if you lived in Bush Hall, let us know
Hit
that you've done
up.
Okay here.
What's up? Are you still living
who
there?
Are
like.
You?
Are you still living there? 4 years in Bush.
Yo. The dream,
wow.
some may call it. I had a friend who did 3 years in Metcalf.
As an RA?
See, that sounds
or
not
no,
that
no,
bad.
No, no, just as
Metcalf
a resident.
Metcalf is homey. That's nice.
I've
never been in Stratton. And I've never been in Richardson House. And I've been
really?
In Soho. I was
You've
almost
never been
gonna
in Stratton or
in
Richardson?
Soho, a big lie.
Richardson, actually, after the renovation, is... Alliteration is a new word I learned this week. It's a lit
Ooh.
Situation in Richardson.
Oh, I was like,
really?
Yeah, they have
What is the origin
very,
of that word?
It has a 574-ish vibe in terms of having some pastel spaces and meeting rooms and all these little nooks and crannies.
I'm really into the like back porch thing they put on it. Like Richardson used to just be like, now it's on the map. Like they have a porch, you know, that really like makes a big difference. You know,
is
the
it whole still vibe. On Woods?
Yes.
Yeah. That's cool. Stratton looks like a converted schoolhouse. Like it was like used to be an elementary school, and they put beds in it.
Wow. But I think it looks so nice from the outside. I have no idea what it looks like on the inside, but it's like collegiate. One of the few buildings. Yeah, it's one of the few buildings on Tufts campus that I think looks so collegiate.
I've heard that if you're looking for a very quiet senior year, and if you're looking for a single room where you can retreat without fear of being disturbed, Stratton will really meet those needs for most other purposes. I think there's a reason that not everyone wants to live in Stratton.
Yeah. It's a nice name. It sounds very important. Stratton Hall.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So going up from things that we've never done that we feel pretty ambivalent about, is there anything that you haven't done yet that you'd really like to knock out before we leave?
That you were telling us recently about the pizza crawl. I want to do that. Yeah. That sounds like such a great thing.
Yeah, I would absolutely do the pizza crawl again. So for those of you who don't know, there are 6 pizza places on Boston Ave. They're all within like a 2-block length of Boston Ave.
Pizza Row. Pro Row and Pizza Row.
Yeah. Pro Row and Pizza Row.
Wow, I want to make that a thing.
Wait, that sounds Legacy. Like the new... there's a fraternity that is now called Pyro.
Pizza Pyro.
Former SIGEP. Yeah.
Formerly SIGEP.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Pyro.
FKA SIGEP.
Yeah. Anyways, you can kind of choose your own rules for the Boston Ave pizza crawl, but when I've done it previously, and we had a team of 6 of us, and we had to finish a large pizza at each of the 6 places, so that makes on average a pizza a person.
I can put pizza away.
How did you prepare for such a challenge?
I think we like had lunch that day. But we did bring a notebook with us to write down like, you know, quotes, ratings. You know, we did kind of like a service rating and
service.
A food rating at each place.
I think if you're not going to make it pseudo-academic, you may as well not even do a crawl, you know? Like, you need to shovel pizza into your
mouth. It's about the data. It's really about the data. collecting it.
Yeah.
Ooh, I think another category to think about would be, especially because you're eating so much pizza and it's greasy, is like, what kind of napkins do they have at this establishment? Because a lot of pizza places, they have those really, like, thin, one-ply napkins that are like, that did nothing, you know?
And yeah.
I feel like that really can change the whole experience.
It really can.
Yeah.
And like what kind of free water receptacles they have also.
Wow.
Do they have tiny cups or big cups? Mm.
Do you have to ask?
Yeah. Mm. Other things.
Right now my favorite is Nick's, but I've never done all of the pizza places in succession.
Yeah.
So
I've definitely eaten at every single one except Pizza Days.
Good choice on that. Not the best.
I had Pizza Days this weekend. I had not previously had it. But I did actually, so I was hanging out with someone who goes to Northeastern and does not go to Tufts and was like mind blown when I was like, I can get you free socks from Pizza Days when we go pick up the pizza if you want.
Oh, they really have a great marketing strategy. Yeah. Whoever was like, socks for every pizza.
But it was great. I didn't realize how easy it was. I just went in there and I was like, do you still have free socks? And the guy was like, yeah, here, I have 2 pairs.
So, one for your hands, one for your feet.
Yeah.
So you want to do a pizza crawl?
Yeah. Yeah. That's like my most doable thing on my list right now, you know, just like ask some people to accompany me on this excursion. I think people would be down. Yeah. Who doesn't love eat pizza? I think it's one of the most uniting things of our generation.
Honestly, yeah.
Like, yeah. Everyone. Oh, actually, I have one friend who doesn't like pizza. Hope she's listening. Mm. She knows who she is.
Also, the lactose intolerant people out there.
Oh, Jeez.
They can hit up gluten-free
people.
Gluten-free people.
Vegans.
Yeah.
Vegans, you know something? Vegans, if they can't appreciate the vegan pizza that they're serving up in Carmen DeWick with the pea flour cheese, then that's on them. That stuff is honestly pretty delicious.
What is pea flour?
You take peas, green peas, and then you sort of dry them and grind them, and you make Daiya vegan cheese.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, I've never heard of pea flour. I've heard of like almond flour and like all that.
Pea flour.
Cool. It seems like a new avenue to explore.
It's not bad.
Alternative flours.
I do go for that when the regular pizza has run out, and I would rather have it than wait for regular pizza, which I think does indicate that it's like comparable enough, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we're gonna play a couple more songs, and then we'll get back to you with more thoughts about things that we haven't done. If you have anything that you haven't done at Tufts and you want to add it to your Tufts bucket list, please call us at 617-627-3800. That is 617-627-3800. Here you go with the music.
Things I've seen when I begin. nakupenda pia nakutaka pia penzi we.
So we hope you listeners liked that never before heard Michael Jackson song.
Yes. We've taken it from the vault.
Yeah. We recorded it ourselves back with Mike in summer of 88.
Ooh, yeah. It was a great time. You know, you had Michael Jackson, you had Gio Jackson, all the Jacksons.
Jermaine.
Janet was there. They were all coming
Reggie.
Out. Oh gosh, Pee Wee Herman, he's also there.
Yeah, unfortunately, the three greatest musical icons of our time, i.e., the Jonas Brothers, hadn't been born yet. So
I think Kevin had, because he's that old.
Wait, how old are the Jonas Brothers now? Nick is like a year younger than us.
I think he might be our age.
Is Miley Cyrus exactly our age?
Okay, everyone Google something different. I'm going to Google Miley Cyrus.
Everyone Google something different.
Okay, I'm going to Google Jonas Brother ages then.
Miley Cyrus was born November 1992. So she is 23.
So a little bit older. Okay, so Nick Jonas was born... What? Nick Jonas was born in 1992. Also,
I think Whoa. The fact that, like, in order to be a middle school music icon, you have to be slightly older than middle
yeah.
school age.
I guess so.
And
yeah.
I ended up Googling sea turtle ages. Sea turtles can live more than 150 years, some species.
Wow.
Yeah, females of some species may reach 35 or more years of age before reproducing. Lucky them. They don't have to worry about freezing their eggs or anything.
Wow. Sea turtles. Wow.
No work-life balance.
Lifespan several times that of a dinosaur.
Yeah, you just spend the first 75 years in your professional chilling. Career.
Oh, interesting. So in the course of my Googling, I just discovered I'm younger than Justin Bieber.
Hmm.
Actually, a little taken aback.
Ooh, maybe I'll just go on Wikipedia and press the random page. I'll do that. I love that.
Joe Jonas was born in 1989, and Kevin Jonas was born in 1987, so he was, in fact, alive when Liberian Girl was recorded.
I was carrying baby Kevin in a baby Bjorn as we sat down with Mike and recorded Liberian Girl.
I saw a great baby Bjorn yesterday while I was walking around.
One of my friends really wants to do this egg challenge, and he was like, where you have to have an egg on you for a full week, and it always has to be supported somehow. And so we designed an egg baby Bjorn, like not actually, we just drew it out, like how it would look, how it would strap on. Yeah.
Isn't that a thing, at least on television shows, about high school and home ec and those kinds of
classes? Yeah, we were having a conversation about that. He had to do that.
You had to sort of nurture an egg.
Yeah, he had to do that. They did an egg, or first he did a bag of flour in like 10th grade, and they graduated to an egg in like 11th grade.
The bag of flour really seems more realistic to me. You can dress it, you can cradle it.
Yeah, but I mean, it is, it doesn't hurt to make people really think that babies are that fragile.
Yeah.
Maybe we should.
I feel like the more pertinent thing would be like something that, like, you have to just be like cooking a pot of food constantly for a week. Like, you just like can't leave it unattended, or like something might happen. I feel like that's the bigger like point to drive home. Like, you can't go out with your friends because you have this thing.
Yeah, gotcha. Like, I could put my bag of flour in the backseat of my friend's car and have a fine time. But I guess I think you really need those. I think some of the shows that I watched, like That's So Raven, they didn't give them bags of flour. They gave them programmed dolls.
I've seen that,
That cried and requested food and needed changing and all this stuff.
It was always interesting on those shows when they would break up into, like, the couples, into the families. That was always, like, a point of contention, I feel like, where it's like, who's going to be your, like, wife? And obviously it was super heteronormative also.
Yeah. Except that I feel like there was always, like, the kooky, like, same-sex couple, unlikely like, friendship.
Well, what do we do now?
Yeah. Like, come on, I can't believe I got paired with you.
Yeah,
and then they, like,
never happened in real life.
End up being friends.
Together through raising this
right,
child.
Right. And the whole joke is that like they seem kind of gay.
Yeah. Ooh, what a loaded plot point. I never thought about that before.
Yeah.
So many different threads.
Archetypal family structures.
Yeah.
I feel like watching a lot of TV shows and movies, I just like go back to them and I'm astonished by how differently I view them now.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly Friends and John Tucker Must Die.
Friends.
I watched recently.
Friends. Yeah. There's so many issues in Friends.
I
didn't see Friends. I'd never seen it before, but then this summer, people in my life that I cared about a lot told me that Friends was deeply important to them, so I gave it a try. And guys, how did you get through it all?
Well, my mom used to watch Friends. I don't know. Well, it used to be like background noise, kind of. And so I never really remember like sitting down and watching it, but I like remember the characters and like some of the major plot points. And then when it came on Netflix, I was like, oh, like I'll give it a good solid try. And it was just like, wow, there are just so many like homophobic, like transphobic.
The male nanny episode, speaking of like childcare.
There's
also
a lot of fragile masculinity in Friends. Oh, Chandler and Ross have very fragile masculinity.
Don't even get me started on Ross. Wow. Yeah. Ross has, he's got some deep set male insecurity.
Yeah. Mm. I'd love Phoebe, though. Like, of all of them, I think I would really struggle to live with Monica. I think everything about Rachel appalled me.
Wait, yes, Phoebe is the best one.
Phoebe's the best friend.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's a very unpopular opinion on the internet, but that's what
people
are like Rachel
Phoebe's
more than Monica, though.
Yeah. I think, okay, if you had to rank them, how would you rank them? The friends of friends.
Of all six? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Like, in terms of, like, who you would want to be friends with.
Who I would want to be friends with, not necessarily who I would live with, or am I building my apartment
of three?
I think
living is, like, too, you know what I mean? Like, that's...
Don't live with any of them. Yeah.
True.
Yeah, they all do kind of seem like horrible roommates. Like,
I honestly think Joey, Phoebe, and me would be...
That's the crew! That's my top two, yeah. Also.
I was thinking my Phoebe crew would and be Joey. Joey, Phoebe, me, and also Chandler. You know, mm-hmm.
Chandler's right underneath there.
I worry that Joey and Chandler would hang out all the time, which I guess means I would get to hang out with Phoebe all the time.
Yeah,
you know, it's just not nice to devolve a foursome.
Smelly cat,
two Sims.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I think they did have the sixsome to balance it out. You know, yeah, yeah, definitely Phoebe, Joey, Chandler, Rachel, Monica, then. Anyone else?
Like Carol?
Yeah. Janice. Literally Janice. And then Ross. Ugh, there's something about Ross. I just annoys the crap out of me.
I feel like Ross combined a lot of the qualities that I've learned I don't like in a lot of Tufts men, such as he thinks he's the smartest person at all times.
Yeah.
He also has a really fragile, yep. masculine sense of
he
himself.
Whines. He whines.
He whines. His sweaters aren't that nice.
It is the night. We gotta give him a break for the times. He thinks he's like, I don't know. There's just a lot to unpack with Ross.
He's very petulant, you know?
Yeah.
Don't date him. Don't be friends with him.
We were on a break. Mm. Okay, get over it. Yeah, you know? Oh, dating Ross? If you're saying if we would date, he would... Mm-mm. The last of the last person on earth.
I don't really think any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I think I saw an article on Reddit where someone went through every episode and based on mentions or actual appearances, tracked how many sexual partners each friend had. Mm. And Joey and Phoebe, I think they came in the 80s or something like that.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. It was the 90s. New York, the 90s. Wow. Mm. What a time to be alive.
That's interesting.
I just don't get what the thing that bugs me about friends is we can have these kinds of conversations about how they're all pretty terrible roommates and probably friends.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't get how people tuned in scores, just en masse. People would sit down and say to themselves, it is vital that I watch Friends right now. I need to catch the finale of Friends.
Yeah. Know? Especially when you think about the caliber of like TV sitcoms, like I don't know, some more current ones that are like similar premises where it's like a group of friends thinking about, like, I don't know if you ever heard the show Happy Endings. That's a really funny one. It's just like a group of friends living in Chicago, and it's just like, I don't know, I don't know where the whole Friends appeal came from. Maybe it was the first or of its kind, but like not really.
I think you have to think about the times. I feel like we've been... So I actually recently tried to watch the first episode of Fuller House, and I made it 5 minutes before that needed to disappear from my life forever. But the problem was that it was exactly like the original Full House, and it got me thinking about how the original Full House was also like a horrible TV show, and not like it did not have the same like mass following as Friends, but like it was just on TV all the time. People watched it and regarded it as like a normal show to watch and like kind of enjoy. So I feel like, I don't know. I feel like there were a lot of like very one-dimensional shows.
Yeah.
And now we get to live in like a world where they're competing enough that I think people have like more substantive things
going
on.
That's true. There are so many more channels and programs and like TV shows. But I'm ashamed to admit that I really did like Fuller House.
Really?
I watched the whole thing. I just got like hooked. I was like sick and it came out and I was like, well, I guess I'll watch it. And... You know, sometimes laugh tracks just get me. Like, you know, I should be more. Oh, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, no, now it's 1, 2, 3, 5. Dang it.
Ah, yes, it is.
What's another like 90s sitcom that like looking back probably was not that funny?
Those are the ones I've heard of.
Should I just watch Step by Step?
A lot of, yeah, like I'm thinking like Step by Step. Like
people really liked.
I haven't seen it. Yeah.
Oh, that's like really sci-fi-y though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
I've watched a couple episodes of Twin Peaks.
Isn't the original X-Files supposed to be in the 90s? People are loving the reboot.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give that one a try.
X-Files used to freak me out, though. My dad used to watch it with me at night. He'd be like, oh, this is the best part. And I'd be like, freaking out.
Wait, also Buffy, right?
Yeah. Oh, Buffy actually was, like, still pretty good
Buffy
for its...
I believe, late 90s to early 2000s.
Yeah.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Loved that show.
Yeah, I loved her outfit.
I thought she had like the coolest like clothes ever, and she had a talking cat.
Wait, that would be one I would be interested to go back and watch, because she lived with like her two aunts.
It's on Hulu, the whole thing,
which is at least a non-conventional family structure at the very least.
Weird kinship at the least.
Yeah. I don't know, but I kind of vaguely remember Sabrina always being like reasonable about things. Yeah, at least, too, you know.
I remember the show I used to watch a lot was Moesha with Brandy. That was a great show. I think it was like
Brandy Ray J's sister.
You mean Brandy? Oh, I can't think of the same. I was trying to do it opposite. Like,
oh, you mean like
Brandy's more important?
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Ray J of I Hit It First fame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brandy, his sister, had like a hit show in the 90s called Moesha that was so great. Loved that show. Yeah. It was on like the WB or something. And it was just like a girl living in LA and just like went to high school and dealt with issues. But yeah. But she was black and like her whole community really was like of color, and that was like really cool. So maybe that was one of the also differences in terms of like the content and the humor, you know, because that was a cool show. And she had great braids. Oh, just serving up the 90s. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, she served it up hot and fresh. Did you guys ever watch that movie, 10 Things I Hate About You? I feel like that really solidifies that time period.
I recently watched it.
It's got a Heath Ledger.
Yeah. I actually rewatched that scene. I can't remember what song it is now, but like 2 weeks ago for radio, I was looking up that scene.
I love you, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, we could play that song.
Oh, because it was like covers and versions of things, and Lauryn Hill also sings a version of that song.
That song, yeah, that version's really good.
Yeah. Why don't we play both versions of the song?
Yeah.
Why not?
Call in with your vote, but we all know which one. Actually, they're both good in really different ways.
Yeah. What is the title of that song?
The title of the song
actually, don't say it. We're not allowed to say it on air. That's also a rule of WMFO.
Ooh.
No titles before the songs, but you can say them afterwards.
That's so interesting.
It's actually to stop the radio pirates from tape recording things off of the radio that they may be listening
you
to.
You dirty scoundrel pirates.
My song. Get your phones out.
Yeah, just talk for a minute while I
okay.
Well, I mean, I think my issue with trying to talk about 90s TV is that I only know what I know from seeing references on the internet nowadays. I didn't really watch Full House. I saw maybe the episode where Michelle falls off a horse. That was it.
Oh, scarred me for life.
It's the only one I've seen.
Were your parents like not big into TV? Were like?
Well, I think my dad pretty much just watches the History Channel. My mom is from England, and so she and my grandparents were really into TV back over there, but moved over here and retained a sort of snobbish attitude toward American programming. I think American humor is kind of, I mean, they're not wrong. It is kind of crasser and more direct, and you know,
especially when we're thinking about like in the 90s and stuff, I think that wouldn't particularly appeal, those like really big like Friends and stuff like that. Like, I feel like that wouldn't be as appealing, whereas maybe shows now would be, because it's a little more smarter.
My grandma watches The Good Wife pretty religiously.
Oh yes, great writing on that show. Wow. I honestly think I should turn my passion to TV into something, because I like spend so much time watching it.
Vidya does. She has a column in The Daily.
Yes, it runs sometimes. You have to pick up the paper every day, give you an excuse to take a flip through.
Yeah.
You can find my columns.
I've been finding
it. Are they recaps or are they reviews?
So I've sort of done a mix. Some weeks I have told you about an entire series and I've been like, this is why this series gels perfectly with everything that I need in life. Other times, like for example, something significant happened on The 100 recently that I wrote about.
Are you talking about the most recent episode?
Not 308, which just aired, but 307 a week ago.
Okay, they act like that didn't even happen.
Right. So I wrote, that column was pretty much entirely about that event. The one that I wrote, the one that's coming out this week, is based on only having seen the pilot of something, but it's which just show? Sort of a Mr. Robot, which my brother is really into. So it's mainly my brother taking the lead and telling me why I've got to keep watching.
Was it better than its name suggests?
Oh, it's kind of, it's got a
it's just kind of like a Mr. Robot.
Like, if you like Orphan Black and you like
I'm in
sort of
oh my gosh, I haven't started watching that yet. Oh.
You gotta
indie
you gotta.
Protagonists who love wearing hoodies and walking around these big cities, like
what city is it set in?
New York.
Okay, great. Hooked. Yeah.
If you want to have a
espionage,
show,
like
espionage, great. Corporations, capitalism,
it's like bio
hacking
stuff,
not
like,
bio, more like
that sounds
computer,
cool.
Like,
ooh, okay. Can do.
Do they pull up hack screen on their computers?
They do, but my brother, who is my authority on all things computers, says, as you'll read in the Daily, that he was actually pretty blown away by their approach to depicting hacking.
Ooh.
It was less about, like, I've passed the firewall, and more about learning people's maiden names and pet names.
Which is,
interesting.
Like, more real. Attack.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I have found the song.
Great.
Mystery song.
I'm so excited to be
so
back.
So listen to, I'm going to play the Frankie Valli version. Mm-hmm. There's also a Gloria Gaynor version, or we could play the, I feel like playing the Heath Ledger version would probably not sound as good as like it looks.
Yeah,
because it would probably be from a poor quality YouTube video. So we'll play this version and then we'll play the Lauryn Hill version.
Great.
Cool.
I'm so pumped.
Here we go.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off.
That was Can't Take My Eyes Off of You by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and then by Lauryn Hill.
Which one did you like better? Callers, let us know.
Yeah, now's the time to call. We had that, we had, for people who maybe have tuned in recently, we had a crazy, like, 20 minutes there of just constant calls and not being able to pick all of them up. But now the phone lines have been quiet for a while. If you are still listening, we would love to hear from you. One at a time, though, please.
Everyone take their turn. So we have a quick public service announcement. The United States has the world's largest documented prison population, both in absolute and proportional terms. According to the United States Department of Justice, more than 2.2 million prisoners are behind bars in the United States, a rate of 730 per 100,000 people. China, on the other hand, which is four times more populous than the United States, is a distant second with 1.5 million people in prison, a rate of 117 per 100,000 people, while Russia has the second highest rate. What? 606 people per 100,000 prisoners, for a total of 865,000 prisoners. Just some numbers to think about. A message in the public interest from WMFO in Medford.
Those are really some numbers to think about.
Yeah.
I like the numbers to think about. Yeah. They're always so passive aggressive. Yeah.
Like, they're also hard to read. Like reading out big numbers sometimes where you're like, 2.2, yeah. How many zeros is that? 1,000, 100, what?
I've been struggling with that a lot in Chinese class the past few years. Mm-hmm. Because, first of all, in Chinese, for example, if you're going to read a percentage, you have to say the word percent first, and I always forget to do that. Mm-hmm. And then also, instead of grouping numbers as 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, million, like those groupings, the Chinese groupings are 10, 100,000, 10,000, and then I think it's like 100 million is one of the next ones. So the groupings, the commas are in different places.
Oh.
So recently I've been struggling with big numbers.
Wait,
in
that's
English,
very interesting.
In
that is really, I didn't know that. That's the thing it that's not really well known, that there's a difference in like how numbers are like perceived or whatever, written out.
Does that have to do also with how it, like how an abacus is used and how it's perceived? That's not...
I have no idea. I probably should have asked that at some point instead of just complaining about having to learn a new numbering system.
Because I've heard that math is easier in Chinese because of the way that they think about numbers.
I definitely think you can see that with a lot of Asian languages, including my family's language, at the 1 to 100 level, for example. 20 is 2-10. 55 is 5-10-5.
Oh, like the way you say it is like you just
and
say
11 and 12 and all these numbers that we have weird words are 10-1, 10-2 type stuff.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, that's like in Spanish or some parts of. They're like 10 and 1, 10 and 2. Oh, yeah.
11, 12, 13, 14, I think.
Yeah. So 10 to 15 is weird, but.
Then after that, Yeah. Wow.
That 11 to 15 range, though, guys.
That's interesting.
For the math aptitude. No, I'm kidding.
but that's weird why they would create new numbers when they could have just kept going with that, like, the whole time. Instead of just...
If I recall correctly, it was language. Latin class. Don't know about that. Anyway, if my Chinese teacher's listening, do call in with advice about the abacus.
Did you read Ecce Romani in Latin?
Other schools use it, and my mom, I think, used it. We didn't use Ecce Romani. We used Cambridge Latin and then Oxford Latin.
Those are the ones that I use. What's Scintilla and Quintus?
Dude, one of the Quintuses lived in Pompeii. Mm-hmm. I think that was the Cambridge Quintus. And the Oxford Quintus, I want to say, lived in Britain? Alexandria?
I don't know if maybe I didn't use that one. What I used, I thought I switched between the two systems, but maybe I just used one or the other. Scintilla and Casa Laboret. I still remember that's like the first sentence of that book.
There's a character named Papaya that said a lot of glee.
Yeah.
I remember there was one character in our book for a whole, like, two chapters. There were all the different characters, like, doing stuff, and they were just stuck in a ditch for, like, two chapters.
What? Because
they were going to school, and they fell into a ditch.
Oh, my God.
And all this stuff was happening around them, like, no one noticed, and they were just like, Marcus is in a ditch.
Marcus in ditches. You know, not really showcasing the famed Roman roads, are they?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. That poor infrastructure.
Yeah. Put a lot of emphasis on the Romans, and what did they give us?
Aqueducts.
They gave us a lot of stuff. They gave us aqueducts. They gave us roads, theoretically. They gave us all of our Romance languages. They also did a lot of very bad stuff as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
A lot of
endangered animals.
They're a mixed bag, those ancient Romans.
Yeah.
Latin class, I think, always skirted a fine line between adoring the Romans and pointing out that they were the worst.
Oh, my teacher was all about adoration. We had no, like, critical analysis of, like, anything they did.
My teacher definitely loved them, but then when you'd actually read the historical asides in the books, you'd be like, oh my God, why am I learning these people's language?
Yeah. Why do we put so much faith in them?
Wait, did we all take... We all took Latin in high school. What were your reasonings behind doing that?
I took Latin in fourth and fifth grade because I did this program called Stepping Stone, which is a program for academically motivated youngsters in public schools to get them prepared for, like, going into a private school or exam school setting. Basically, the idea was, like, public school system is not as good at preparing kids for more rigorous like academics, and kids who are showing a lot of promise kind of like fall in the cracks. They don't have like rigor. So there's like this 14-month program, which I loved. Like, I love school. Like, it just meant more school. Cool. And I was like, done. Like, it was Saturday school and like school in the summer. I was like, sold, I'm in. Like, and yeah, we learned Latin, like algebra. We had English classes. Like, it was really cool. Wow. Yeah.
Pretty lit.
Yeah. We got free backpacks. Wow, I was such a nerd. I was like, wow. Learning is awesome.
Now that you've said that, I am going to confess something I was thinking about when you were talking about peeing in class, which is that in elementary school, I think I probably left class to pee once a year at most.
Oh my God.
Because I loved school so much that wow. whenever I didn't I love voluntarily leave the room for even a couple minutes.
Yeah, I love school. And my mom was very different growing up. She was like, yeah, school's always just something I had to do, but I loved every second of it. Wow. Mm-hmm.
So that's what an egghead. Because you were at a preparatory program.
Yeah.
Is it because they fed into a lot of Catholic schools? Is that why they wanted to?
No. I don't know. I guess because it was for... I guess it was just because we had to take a lot of standardized tests and like different like phonics and things like that. Like, it's helpful to have like a Latin background, or so they'd say. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess. Or just because it sounds like impressive. Like, if you're applying to all these private schools and you're like, she's taken 2 years of Latin and she's in fifth grade. Like, you know, like that sounds pretty impressive.
What about you, Shark? What was the motivating factor?
Wow, I like really have very little idea about why I thought it was a good enough idea to switch between middle school and high school. I feel like I recall the feeling of like telling people that it was like to know more, like to know more vocabulary.
When the SATs.
I remember that feeling like it was a lie every time I said it, and like, I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I have a memory of like saying that a lot, but not believing it. But then I don't
Did
know
you
what
like
my
the
reasoning
teacher?
Was.
Like,
yeah, I think maybe there were like rumors that the Spanish teachers were bad, and like I was nervous about it, and maybe like wanted to try something new. Mm-hmm. I think I would just like. I had a really like horrible Spanish teacher in middle school, so maybe that played into it too. And I was just like, I don't want to keep going with the bad Spanish teachers.
Yeah.
In college, I had an amazing Spanish professor. So that kind of turned things around. But then I became an engineer, so then I didn't need to take Spanish anymore, so I took no language. But I actually really did feel like Latin helped my English grammar a ton.
Yeah.
Because it forces you to understand, like, objects versus direct objects versus indirect objects. Yeah. And, like, the different verb tenses, like...
Pluperfect.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Stuff like that.
Which maybe would be true in Spanish, too. But I think Latin is more diligent about, like, separating them and, like, always using them that way.
Yeah. Spanish, and it's not as much as, like, vocab or whatever. Like, obviously you had to know vocab, but that wasn't, like, the main... focus, at least for our Latin class.
Because it's written, I guess.
Yeah.
You can be strict about it. Yeah. Whereas Latin, you have to learn what people will just say in conversation, which
Spanish,
is kind of...
Spanish, right?
Oh, sorry, Spanish, yeah. Yeah.
Why'd you take Latin?
A few different reasons. So, like I said, my mom, hello mom if you're still listening, was educated in England, and so the schooling systems there required French and Latin. Mm-hmm. So she grew up not only learning Latin as a language, but then having to learn Latin.